Good morning.
The psalmist wrote in Psalm 55, verse 22, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." What an encouraging passage to think about the burdens of life. Think about those things which we can cast upon the Lord, those things which He only can bear for us and help us through, work through those issues with us in life. We're reminded by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 4. He says, "For we who are in this tent," or in this body, this tabernacle, he says, "we groan, being burdened." This life has its share of burdens, which we ourselves are told there are those burdens which we are to bear. And there are those burdens which we are to help one another bear as well. And then those burdens that we find, according to Psalm 55, that we cast upon the Lord. It is sometimes the case that we think about those things in life that generally get us down, that might discourage us, that might cause us to take on an extra load of concern or care, difficulty, whatever the case may be. And that's something that we all share together. That's something that we have in common. Though the specifics of maybe each of those might be different in each of our lives as we examine and think about those things. The deepest and heaviest of burdens are not usually seen. Sometimes they are so deep within us. And sometimes it's the case, and I think also maybe if we knew the fierce battles that we as human beings are facing in life, if we knew some of those fierce battles that we are each facing, that we carry around each day, it would probably teach us some lessons about restraint. It would probably teach us some lessons about love and concern and care for one another. It would teach us lessons about how we shouldn't be so rough with one another or harsh with one another in our dealings, in our daily walk with one another. It would cause us to be careful about our judgments and our prejudices, maybe even about one another. Some have seen the passage in Galatians 6, verse 2 and verse 5. That's where we'll find our first two verses that we will look at in this lesson this morning. And then we will come back to Psalm 55, verse 22. Galatians 6, verse 2 and verse 5. Some have seen them to be contradictory, because when you read, verse 5 says, "Every man shall bear his own burdens." And then verse 2 says, "Bear you one another's burdens." So which is it, right? Is every man bearing his own burdens, or are we bearing one another's burdens? Well, let's see if we can work through this. You see, the original words are different, though they're translated the same, because they certainly share a similarity. But the word burden that we find in verse 2 of Galatians 6 is the word which means a load. Literally, a heavy load that has been taken on, a load of difficulty, maybe a load of sorrow, a load of pain, whatever the case may, a load of concern that has come upon us in some way. And so this is the word that we see to be a load, a burden as in a load to carry. And in that, those are burdens that we are to bear for one another. They are those that we help one another with. And then we find in Galatians 6 and verse 5, the word burden, and its original idea is a pack. A pack that is yours. When you go in and you get fitted for a backpack, you're going to hike a trail and you're going to start doing this. You go and you typically find one that's going to fit. Well, sometimes what we do is we start out and we go maybe buy just whatever we can grab off the shelf somewhere. It doesn't fit real well, and I go and walk up a trail, and you know, it's sagging around, or it's rubbing me in the wrong spot on my back. It's not carrying the load just as it needs to be. And so we think about a backpack in those terms. But when you get fitted for a backpack and you step up and you get one that actually fits your height and is made to carry that certain load, depending on where you're going to go, how much you're going to be carrying, all of those things, that type of word is what we're talking about, a pack. But it has the whole of one's duties. And so it's specific to each individual. And that's why we read it, and we read that every man shall bear his own pack, his own burden in that way. And so we have these two ideas being used. They're not contradictory in any sense, but what we're going to see in this passage is that they actually begin to complement one another. And so the Bible teaches us three things to do with our burdens. Every man shall bear his own burden, according to verse 5. That we bear one another's burdens, according to verse 2. And then again in Psalm 55, there are those burdens which we cast upon the Lord, in Psalm 55 and verse 22. And so we begin then with the first one, Galatians 6 and verse 5. Maybe. Galatians 6 and verse 5. There's some burdens that are just not transferable. Again, this is the idea of that pack, the one that's fit directly for each individual. Those burdens that each individual will have to have in their life. Those are not transferable. I can't give you mine, you can't give me yours. The Lord has given to each of us our own responsibilities. That's what that pack is. That's what that burden is. Mark 13 and verse 34, it's like a man going into a far country, Jesus says, who left his house, gave authority to his servants, and to each one his work. Each one was given a certain responsibility, certain thing that they had to do in life, which they were going to be responsible for. And then he commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. If you go back to our passage there in Galatians chapter 6, if you notice in verse 4, it says, let each one examine his own work. There's where you begin to see that idea that's found in verse 5, that each man should bear his own burden. Why? Because each man's looking at, right now, his own work, his own responsibilities that's been given to him, his duties that are there before God. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. See, nobody can believe the Lord for you. Nobody can repent of your sins for you. No one can confess your faith in Christ for you. No one can be baptized for you. Nobody can perform your Christian responsibilities in this life wherein we maintain our faithfulness unto God. No one can worship for you. Nobody can answer at the judgment bar of Christ for you. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And so having those things in mind, you have this picture. I have my own pack and you have your own pack. Those things for which we have been called to do, and the responsibilities that we have, the duties that we have before God, those things specific to each one, each individual. It also then reminds us that no one's going to get lost in the crowd. No one's going to be able to hide behind another. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of those things done in the body, whether good or bad. Again, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. There's nowhere that you can flee from the presence of the Lord. You think about Jonah, how he wanted to run away from God. And then he was going to run on before God. You can't do that. You can't run away from the presence of God. Nobody's going to be lost in the crowd. No one is going to be able to hide behind another. And therefore, that's why it's so important that we teach our young people what faith truly is. Now, they see the example of their parents before them. They see the example of others, maybe in the church family, around them as well. But each one has to learn to have their own faith and to be growing in their own faith. How so? The same way that we began our faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Each individual has that responsibility to have that faith, to grow in that faith, and to continue to add to that faith those Christian graces there in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 and following. Why? Because if you do these things and you add these things to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, all of those things, you add those Christian graces to your life, he says they make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. And if you do these things, you shall never fall. So that responsibility that we each have as children of God, that each human has before God, each man shall bear his own burden in that sense. And then we also have Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, he says. Now I want you to notice what our context is. Here's the key to understanding what he's talking about in verse 2. You go back to verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you're also tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, this is in the direct context of while we are mutual burden bearing, you might say, we seek to keep those around us who are going astray, to help them come back, to help them see the right way, to help them see the faithful path, to help them know what's right, to help them to know what's wrong, to help them to see sometimes it's something that they're missing in their life, that they're not seeing, they're not focused on the right things. But to help them in that way. He says that's the law of Christ. Fulfill the law of Christ in that. By helping one another. Bearing one another's burdens. Those difficult things in life. And so he's telling us and teaching us about how, what kind of responsibilities then the faithful have with those around them. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Looking at yourself, considering yourself, lest you're also tempted in some way. And bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. That idea of restore, it's a word that means to set in joint again, literally. To set, so something is out of joint, and what do you have to do? Doctor, you have to put it back in joint, right? You have to put this back in joint. It's out and it's causing pain and discomfort and there's inflammation. There's things going on there. It has to be put back in its proper place. That's the picture of restoring that we're talking about. And so restoring something that has been dislocated. How do we do that? Sincere love, kindness, coupled together with reproof. And that's not being harsh with anyone. That's being loving. That's being kind. Because we have their best interest at heart. Because we don't want them to be out of joint, out of sync with the rest of the body. We want them to be in sync. We want them to be together with the body of Christ. And so he says, in what type of spirit? In the spirit of meekness, he says. In other words, not in wrath and not in anger. Sometimes the way that I've seen brethren approach some who are hurting and some who are struggling in certain things, they're approached with such a mean spirit. I wouldn't want to come back after that either. And they're just run off. People need to know that we love and care. They'll listen if they know that. They may not respond the way that we want them to respond right away. We continue to pray. We continue to encourage. We continue to do all of those things. He says, in the spirit of meekness or gentleness. Many needful reproofs have lost their effectiveness simply because they were given in the wrong spirit. But again, when they proceed from a sincere love and affection and concern and care for the welfare of that one that's being afflicted. That one who's got a burden tasked upon them right now that it's something they can't control, something they can't help. It's already overtaken them. According to verse 1, it's overtaken them. They need that help. And so we have responsibility as spiritual, as faithful, to help them overcome those things. To be able to help them walk back through the forest and find the path and find the road and get back on the trail that they need to be on. Galatians 6:2 also then has a greater responsibility or application, you might say, as well. Because we have burdens sometimes of sorrow. We're so sorrowful, something has happened. But Paul reminds us as brethren that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who are weeping. Our brethren need us to do that. They need us to be there with them to weep during those times. They need us to be there to rejoice during those times. But sometimes the burden of sorrow is much. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. And so that suffering is a burden. It's a burden of sorrow. A burden of difficulty that's placed upon an individual. And they can't get through it. And it's caused them, they've allowed that thing to overtake them. And yes, that's on them. And they're in the wrong. But they need help to see the way out. And we have to be there for them to see those things. And yes, sometimes even during sorrowful, during grieving and things like that, sometimes it is difficult for people, and so difficult for people that they lose focus on what's most important in life. They lose focus on their faithfulness to God. Those things go to the side. Something else comes to the forefront, and they're dislocated. And they need to be set in joint again. They need to be restored. And so we have to help them. There's the burden of leadership that comes upon some. You think about our eldership. And we have the responsibility. Notice what the Hebrews writer states here. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Because we have responsibility to our elders. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. That's their responsibility. They're watching out for our souls that they may give an account. They're going to have to give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, the writer says, for that would be unprofitable for you. And so the reminder for those who, as we read there in Hebrews chapter 13, whose arms were just hanging down, who were going through something difficult. Maybe it was difficulty with their family because now they have obeyed the gospel. They're Christians, but their family, they're not. And they're at odds with one another, and the difficulty is there. Or maybe they're Christians, and where they were working now is oppressing them in some way because trying to keep them from their faithful service. So they, as Jews, now kicked out of the marketplace because they've obeyed the gospel and they're serving God as Christians. He says, those who have feeble knees, those whose arms hang down, they need to be strengthened. They need to be encouraged. And so we obey them that have the rule over you and submit ourselves. They watch for our souls, and they're going to give an account. And that they may do it with joy and not with grief, because that would be unprofitable. It wouldn't be good for you, in other words. Not only that, think about your preacher as well. I need your prayers. I need your help. I need your love, your concern. This is not just me begging for those things. But this is something that is important. You think about our deacons. The works in which they've been tasked with as well. They need your love. They need your help. They need your work, your service alongside of them. They need us to step up and be with them and to work with them and to support them and to do those works. Why? Because all of that is the picture of the leadership of the Lord's church. That's how He's designed it. And in so doing, with great wisdom, so that we would be that one body, so that we would have one another to lean upon, and so that there would be those who would be able to lead, and there would be those who would support and follow and work with. And when we do so with love and sincerity of heart, with singleness of mind, how beautiful of a picture is that of a family, the household of God, the body of Christ. I think about our civil leaders. We're to be praying for them as well. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. We're to be working with them. Thinking about Titus 3 and verse 1. How may we help people to bear their burdens? That's the real question here. Maybe it's by, number one, living the right kind of life ourselves, being the right kind of example, the right kind of Christian, you might say. Not half-hearted, approaching life as a child of God, but giving ourselves fully unto the doctrine of Christ. Giving ourselves fully unto the work of the Lord's kingdom. That's the picture of Matthew 6 and verse 33 when Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." That's what He's talking about. That's the picture. Living that kind of life before others. That we might live the right kind of example. So that we could say like Paul, "Be followers of Me as I am of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Number two, by consistently believing in people. You know, sometimes we approach people and it's almost like we're trying to catch someone in the wrong. We expect someone to mess up, and so we're just sitting back waiting on that. But if we believe, in fact, isn't that what love does? Believes all things, hopes all things, right? 1 Corinthians 13. And so if we believe in people, let them know that we're there for them and helping. We want to help. We're encouraging them. We think good of one another rather than evil. And we put their needs first as well. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 give us a picture of that. Number three, by also consistently doing that encouraging of one another. The Bible tells us to be encouraging of one another, that we're to use words that would encourage or build up one another. And so we do that. We encourage one another in our strengths, and we support one another in our weaknesses. That's how we might bear one another's burdens. And then we come back to Psalm 55 and verse 22. "Cast your burden upon the Lord." Cast your burden upon the Lord. You see, in these burdens, these difficulties, there are some beyond the reach of human effort. We try as we may, we would fail. These are too much for us. These are to be cast upon the Lord. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you," the psalmist wrote. "He will never permit the righteous to be moved." He'll either, number one, take away the burden. Likely it's been the case you've entered into a Gethsemane of your own, that kind of situation where you've prayed, "Father, if willing, then take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And in His grace, that cup of difficulty and burden was taken away. If it was not and was not removed, then we also find out that's not the end of the story. But rather, He will give you strength to be able to bear it. 2 Corinthians 12, beginning of verse 7, the Apostle Paul explains. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure," he's talking about the vision that he had and all of that had taken place. And he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me." The word buffet, if you define it, it's literally the idea of him. In fact, he would talk about he had to buffet his own body lest he should be cast away. It's used in another passage in that way. But it literally talks about the idea that he was beating himself up, beating himself almost black and blue, you might think, in that term. So what is he talking about? Beating down his own body. And he says, this thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to do what? To beat me down. To beat me down. Lest, he says, I should be exalted above measure. And concerning this thing, he says, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me, that it might be removed from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul says, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and in needs and in persecutions and distress. He says, for Christ's sake. I do it for Christ's sake. And then this kind of really pulls it all together. From when I am weak, then am I made strong. That's the picture. It may be the case that we come and cast our burden upon God and He takes it away. If not, then He will strengthen us to bear that burden. And Paul's thorn in the flesh helps us to be able to see that. God's grace is all sufficient to be able to bear it. And so with life's unbearable burdens, we cast them upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, Peter reminds us, cast all your cares upon Him. Why? He cares for you. Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand, he says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So with life's unbearable burdens, we cast them upon the Lord because He cares for us. Let us be willing then, number one, to assume those burdens of responsibility that are ours and ours alone. Those burdens of duty that are not transferable to anyone else. Number two, let us be conscious of the burdens of others. Those loads that we can help with. Those loads that where they're burdened down and they need to be lifted up. We truly are our brother's keeper in that way. Number three, let us cast our burdens of disappointment, of fear, of failure, of sin. Cast those upon the Lord. It was said of the scapegoat in the Old Testament, in the old law of Moses, that the goat shall bear on itself the iniquities of the people. Leviticus 16 and verse 22. Isaiah recorded the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. He says this of the Lamb of God. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all, Isaiah 53, verse 5 and verse 6. So the question then to each of us, what burden are you carrying today that we might be able to assist you with? What burden are you carrying that only you yourself can handle? The Lord has given you the way to do just that. Because He's given you those responsibilities and He's given you His expectation and He's given you His Word to guide you through those things. What burdens do you need to cast upon Him because you can't take any more? What burdens are you putting off dealing with that the Lord can truly help with? We're here as a family, as the body of Christ, to help, to encourage, to pray for you, to love you, to encourage you, and to lift you up before God by way of prayer, by way of our show of gratitude and love for you. If you have a need this morning, maybe it's one who needs to obey the gospel, taking those very first steps, those responsibilities that God has given to you, of only which you can respond. Do you believe Jesus to be the Son of God? Would you repent of sin? Would you confess your faith in Christ and be baptized to wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 16? And maybe you've taken those steps, but there's something that is lacking. We can encourage you. We're going to do so by singing a song here in just a moment. And if you have a need, come to the front. Let us know how we can help. While together we stand and while we sing.